I just want to read one verse tonight. Through the month of November, I wasn't out last Sunday night, but it would seem that through the month of November, a number of people have been giving their testimonies, and so if you bear with me for a little bit this evening, I'll talk a little bit about myself. I just want to read one verse, though, in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." A very short little verse. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And God will bless to us the reading of His Word tonight. Before I start talking about myself, though, I'll just say a couple things here. The other day, myself and some of the other management team, we were in with the lawyers and with the insurance company and whatnot, and they had a little seminar they put on for us to help us with our incident investigations and the kind of information that we should be recording and whatnot, and how detailed we want to get in, and whether it's a workplace incident amongst our own crew, or if it's something that's happened on the road, whether it be an MBI or whatnot, just the things that we should be looking for and the things that we should be doing in order to make sure we gather all the pertinent information. And so it got me thinking about five basic questions that you can basically apply to anything that you may come across, or anything that you may do yourself, or anything that you may see someone else do. And there's five basic questions that there was even I don't think it's on anymore, there was a news program, it used to be called W5. And I don't know if it's still around or not. But basically, you got the who, the what, the where, when, and why. Who, what, when, where, and why. And I think of those five questions, and I think about that tremendous occurrence some 2,000 years ago. And it's simple to answer those five questions. The occurrence that I'm talking about, and that you know what I'm talking about, the death of Christ upon the cross. A true occurrence. There was a definitive time in history when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and there was a definitive time in history when He took His place upon the cross. I couldn't tell you what day of the week, but what month or what year exactly, but there was a definitive time. The who is simple. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The what is simple. What happened? He laid down His life, a ransom for us. The Bible tells us very clearly and plainly exactly how it all occurred. As those cruel Roman soldiers would take Him and would nail Him to the cross and put the cross in the ground. And there He was between heaven and earth. And they mocked and they jeered Him. And the Bible tells us that there was darkness across the whole earth for 3 hours. And then there was that final cry, "It is finished." And He gave up His ghost. He laid down His life, a ransom for us. He came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. So what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. Where did it happen? Well, Jerusalem, Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. When did it happen? Well, some 2,000 years ago. The biggest question on this list is the last question. The most important question. The question that involves you and I. It's why. Why? Well, the Bible tells us that He loved us and gave Himself for us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, why did He love us? That is a good question. That's a question that I'm not really sure what the answer is. He loved us because He loved us. He created us. He formed us from the dust of the earth. We all know the story in Genesis. Adam, Eve. He created us. And even though we went sin into the world, mankind became very far from God and the ways of God. And yet He still loved us. You think of for a moment that the time frame between sin entering into the world and when Christ went to the cross. Several thousand years. God's plan of salvation was in His heart of love before He created us. And as time went on and mankind sinned and sinned and sinned and carried on, God still had love for us, for each of us. And so there was that appointed time when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. And He went to the cross and He laid down His life for us. When it comes to my own salvation, I can answer those five questions. Who? Well, it's me. It's my story. What happened? I came from darkness unto life. I received Christ. I became the holder of eternal life that only Christ can give. Where did it happen? Well, happened on a boat. Happened on a ferry. Somewhere, I'm not sure exactly where, but somewhere between Vancouver and Nanaimo. When did it happen? Well, I can't remember exactly what day it was, but I know it was on August, and I know it was maybe about a week before my 23rd birthday. I don't remember exactly what time it was, but I remember the event. I remember the specifics of exactly how it happened. Why did it happen? Well, there's two reasons why it happened. Because God provided a way of salvation, and I recognize my need to have salvation. I acknowledged before a holy and a righteous God that I was in sin, and that I was in danger. I was 22 years old. And most people here would know my parents. And if you know my parents, you know that I sat in a lot of gospel meetings growing up. And I went to Sunday school from the time that I can remember. It's interesting that I don't remember a lot. In fact, I don't even remember exactly who all my Sunday school teachers were. But I know I went to Sunday school. And I know I sat in hundreds and hundreds of gospel meetings. From the time when I was a little boy, and it took almost 23 years for God to bring me to my senses. I grew up listening to the gospel, I grew up with Christian parents, and I grew up ignoring it. It wasn't interesting to me. There were times that I had great concern about my soul as a little boy and as a teenager. But whenever those times came, there was always something else that would creep in. Distractions. Things that would take my mind off of what's important. I don't know about you, but I was easily distracted. And so there were times where there was great concern as I grew up, but those times went, they came and went. And as I got older, I got dumber. Did silly things. And I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of it all. But suffice it to say, there were things that I did that could have ended very, very badly. There were things that I did that could have gotten me in a lot of trouble. And there were things that I did that, looking back, it's very, very obvious that it's by God's grace that I'm here today. We did some stupid things. But there were times, as I got older, where the things that what I was doing were just getting more and more unimportant. And I went to a family reunion just before my 23rd birthday, and being surrounded, most of you know the Griffins, and majority of them are all believers. And so I spent a week with them, and I left feeling completely empty. Because it was very obvious that the things that I were doing were no longer enjoyable. And I look at them and I saw what they had and I saw what they did and I saw what they were experiencing. And they had joy and I had nothing. And so I left and I went to Kamloops and I came up to Kamloops and we were out that one night. And I decided to go for a walk. I left where everybody else was there. And it's interesting when you walk around downtown in the middle of the night and you see people walking around, and you look in their faces, and you see what they're doing, and everything just felt so empty. Lost souls wandering here and there, perhaps not knowing the danger that they were in, on the brink of eternity. I left that night, the next day, I got in my truck and I went heading home to the island. And when I got on the boat, I determined that I was going to get this thing of salvation straightened out. I just felt so empty. I felt so lost. And I have no doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit was getting at me. And so I sat in my truck and I had a little New Testament. My grandmother was giving a whole bunch of her books away at that reunion, and so I took a New Testament. And I had that in the truck with me. And so I was reading, and at the family reunion there was different cousins that gave their testimonies, and so I was reading the verses that they used that helped them. And there were verses in Isaiah 53, and there were verses Romans 10 and 9, and John 3:16, and all the common verses that people were saved through. I'm going to put a little plug in for Sunday school teachers and for gospel preachers. There was no particular verse that I got saved through. It was the things that I heard from a child that, whether I remember the details or not, there were things that I heard that were deeply ingrained. And the fact of the matter was is that I might not have had a particular verse that really spoke to me, but I couldn't get it out of my mind that I'm a sinner, but Christ died for me. I'm lost. I'm dying. This may seem strange, but at the moment, at that time, I felt like I was dying, whatever that feels like. And in a way, I was dying in trespasses and sin. I got frustrated reading verses. Nothing was working. So it was very much like Peter when he was sinking between the waves. Peter called out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached forth his hand and pulled him to safety. All I said was, "Jesus, help me." And that was all it took. It was all a lost sinner needed, was to acknowledge that he needed Christ. That Christ was the one that could save him. And I want to tell you tonight that Christ was the one that did save him. He saved me. There's nothing else that could. There's nothing else that would. It's simply the death of Christ upon the cross, and he paid for my sin. And I want to tell you tonight, he paid for your sin. He was buried and he rose again. There's a living Savior that's going to return one day I want you to understand today that there's a coming day when you're going to stand before the Lord. Either as a saved sinner or as a sinner that rejected him. But you're going to meet him. There's an urgency in the gospel. There's an urgency because we don't know what a day may bring forth. We don't know if we're going to survive the day, the week, the month, the year. More importantly, we don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to call his own home. And if he comes to call his own home, are you one of his? It's a question that I want to get right into the depth of your heart. Am I his? Am I ready? There was a time in my life when being ready to meet God was the most important thing. There was nothing else that mattered. It didn't matter what so-and-so thought. It didn't matter what the guys thought. It didn't matter. Having the assuredness of eternal life, that heaven was my home, and I was never going to see hell. I was never going to see the lake of fire. That assuredness is bliss. It's wonderful. And it's nothing that I've done for myself. It's all about what Christ has done. The sacrifice that he made, the love that he showed, and listen, the grace that he's showing you today, that there's still opportunity for you to come to Christ and for you to know your sins forgiven and for you to know that you have a home in heaven. I wonder if you can answer those five questions yourself in regards to your own salvation. When did it happen? Where did it happen? Did it happen to you? Do you know for a fact that you are saved? That's what we want here this evening, is for you to know yourself, to have peace with God, to know that whatever may come, you're ready to go. Are you ready to go?